Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Kamui, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, thank you.
How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm okay, how are you?
Doing very well, thank you. Thank you, I hope your day has been fine. It's a lovely Friday this side, yours?
Yeah, for sure, it's a lovely Friday as we prepare for worship on the Sabbath.
yes, indeed. Can't wait for that, I must tell you that bit. Now, the law of God has been passed down from generation to generation and recorded in Scripture, important to us as Adventists and as Christians. Now, let's take time to understand the purpose of God's law. Did God come up with this law to control us? To want to watch our every move, to basically keep a watchful eye over us? Did he create the law for that?
Thank you so much for that important and the crucial question. Yeah, you understand that even the great controversy between Christ and the devil, you know, borders around the law of God. In the book of Revelation chapter 12 verse 7, we are reminded to say there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. But thank God the Bible says that the dragon could not prevail and he was defeated. So the picture that the devil painted to the entire universe is that God just wants control. He wants to feel that he's the in charge of the universe. No wonder he came up with the law to govern his subjects. In fact, the devil paints a picture that, you know, we are dealing with some kind of deity who stands aloof. He's not participating himself. He just watches and imposes his demands on his creation. So no wonder, you know, some angels were able to be convinced and joined the foreign angel who is Satan, Lucifer, the devil today.
Yep.
And that's the picture that the devil has, you know, given to those who do not appreciate the law of God. Because, you know, he paints a picture that, you know, God just enjoys the authority, enjoys the control, which is not the case. No wonder, you know, in fact, to give an answer to this charge and the accusation, God had to come down through the life of Jesus Christ to just come and participate as well. So that he can even, you know, come down and demonstrate on how best we can, you know, live and abide by the law of God. You know, he was born in a manger, born in human flesh. The Bible record tells me to say, tempted more than we can be tempted. But through Christ managed to defend the law of God in human form.
Yes, Pastor. Oh, goodness. Yeah, Pastor.
So God does not even participate, you know, in this drama of sin. He came, he participated, and he had to put things right. And because of what Christ did on the cross, you and me are redeemed. At least we have hope. Because now we can understand why God, you know, came up with this law. It was not to oppress us, no. It was not for him to control, no. But, you know, the law, like we mentioned last time to say, is the foundation of God's government.
Yeah,
and to me, it's the law, you know, just, you know, puts a picture that God loves us. He just wants to protect us.
Now, Pastor, tell me, what does it mean to have God's law written in our hearts, in my heart, your heart?
Oh, thank you so much. The law of God being written in our hearts reveals two important things. First of all, the first one is that We are reminded that the essentials of the law are not merely outward observances, but they are matters of the heart. No wonder when you check in the book of Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, God himself says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I'll take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And, you know, Jeremiah is the one who talks about, you know, the law written in our heart. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33, where the Bible says, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their hearts and write on their hearts, and I will be their God. So it's God who is doing it on our behalf. He knows we cannot do it on our own. And he comes in by, you know, writing his law in our heart, which, you know, entails that, you know, is the one doing it on our behalf. So in our human form, we cannot really meet the demands of God. But through the death of Jesus Christ and the life of Jesus Christ that has been given for the salvation of mankind, Christ comes through the Holy Spirit in us and he meets the demands of the law on our behalf. So is salvation made simple to me? I've never seen a student who fails an exam. Then the invigilator himself says, since now you have struggled, you have sweated a lot. Let me sit on your desk. Just write your exam number. Let me sit on a desk and write this exam on your behalf. There's no such grace in this life. Yeah. There's no such mercy, such love. But this is exactly what Christ did on Calvary's mountain.
Yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
He had to put us aside in the drama of salvation because he had seen that we're struggling, really struggling with the law of God. Then he had to put it as aside and say, let me do it. Let me write. Because something which is written, you know, it cannot be forgotten. And it denotes permanence. And, you know, it entails that is something which is very important.
Yeah.
So it's him now who is doing it on our behalf. I'll write so that you shouldn't forget. I'll write so that it should stand a test of time. I'll write so that you should appreciate. I will write in your heart so that you should not forget. Even with the Israelites, you remember yesterday would say that he kept on reminding them. But now that it is written in our hearts, there's no need for anyone to remind. It will just flow. It will become part and parcel of us. It will be natural. You know, we enjoy like David who say, I delight in the law of God. It becomes a delight, not a burden, Sam.
Yeah,
we start enjoying when you don't do without the law, you know, you struggle because you know now you the law of God is part and parcel of your life.
Yes,
that's what it means.
Lovely
to say the law of God will be written in our hearts.
No,
because you know the matters of the heart. You know, the heart is the central part of our activities.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's the engine of the soul.
Yeah.
So when it is written in our hearts, it means now even we'll breathe the law of God. The blood flow as the heart is pumping. You know, it's in that direction. You know, to appreciate and keep the law of God. It becomes part of us. Something which is within our heart is part of us, because it flows in our blood.
Yeah, that's true. Now, Pastor, tell me, For whom was this law written? Some tell us that not that only applied to the Israelites, and when the Israelites are not there, we are not Israelites, and so we're not part of that. Was it written for Israelites?
No, it was written for all generations to come.
Mm.
Yeah, no wonder even during Christ's time, Christ himself obeyed the law of God. Even the disciples of Jesus Christ, they obeyed the law of God. Even as today, we are still living under the confines of the law of God.
Yeah.
Should I surprise you?
Yes.
Do you know that even devils, for them to achieve their objectives, they have to be guided by certain rules and regulation, even the law itself. Because if they don't obey their master, they are doomed. They can't achieve their objectives. So to me, the law implies, it's only that, to the other world, they have just failed to appreciate the law of God itself, because it's coming from God. They are against it. But even them, even devils, for them to govern in their evil activities, they need some kind of order.
Yeah.
Law and order for them to achieve their objectives.
Mm, mm, mm.
So, meaning, this law, we cannot just throw it to the children of Israel alone, no. It governs the universe. Imagine if the sun today was to just demonstrate or rebel against God and just say, no, I'll draw closer to human beings, not where I'm not comfortable here where God, placed me. Let me just go closer to the human. What will become? Will melt in a second.
True. Very true.
Even the law of nature, which governs this universe, is in total obedience with God. Now, what more us who are created in the image of God? Can we throw the law of God away and say it was just meant for the children of Israel? With us, we can do whatever we want to do. Imagine, me, I'm a married man, by the way. Imagine if we were to be allowed to do whatever we feel like doing without, being protected by the law of God.
Mm,
then somebody comes and they just grab my wife. What will become of me?
Hey, you'd be finished completely.
Imagine the stress. So I'm at peace in my marriage because there's somebody who said, "Thou shall not commit adultery."
Mm,
And that governs married people. It governs, couples to live in harmony with each other. At the end of the day, in fact, to me, God doesn't need the law. It's us who need the law for our protection. I think God can do without the law.
Well, he is the law.
But because he is the law himself.
Mm.
Now imagine if us were to do with away with the law of God, what would become? There would be chaos. I tell you, mankind can be disastrous.
Yeah, I would be finished.
Imagine if we are still struggling despite the law of God, we still struggle with people who sleep with their own daughters.
Mm.
We still struggle with theft today. We still struggle, with a number of, criminal activities in this life. What more if we were to abolish and say, do away with the law of God and throw it to the children of Israel so that us who are existing now, we can have the freedom to do whatever we are doing. I tell you, that would be the end of planet Earth.
True. Very true.
Because we are going to destroy each other. We'll kill each other in a twinkling of an eye. So we need to appreciate this God who has seen this world from the beginning up to the end. And he came up with the law which gives us the freedom, the protection, the order that we need. Because without which there can be chaos on planet Earth. Because human nature left alone, I tell you, the freedom that we need can bring a disaster to ourselves. And we can't even live long in this life. who just kill each other.
Yeah.
So it's then, like David, we just learn to appreciate the law of God and say, I delight in the law of God.
Mm.
Because one, it gives us protection. Two, it brings order. Three, you know, it brings unity and harmony. And, you know, in fact, it protects our human right when you talk about human right. Because I cannot infringe on another, you know, rights. I'm governed by the law of God. I enjoy my freedom. And at the end of the day, I don't infringe in other people's freedom. I allow them also to enjoy their freedom by me doing what? Obeying the law of God.
Yeah, yeah.
It's as simple as that, but we just struggle. And because after struggling, when we fail to do or to meet the demands of God, to camouflage ourselves and to comfort ourselves that we are not at fault, we point a finger at God, just like the devil did, to say, no, you just want control. You just want to prove you are the in charge of the universe. So we accuse God that his demands are unattainable. It's impossible to keep the law of God. But he simplifies things by, in fact, wanting, coming to do it on our behalf, helping us, holding our hand, lifting us, so that, you know, through him we can have power to meet his demands.
Yeah. Well, Pastor, this has been a fantastic a couple of days with you, and talking about all things about the law of God. Very important subject, because we are who we are. I think in one of your statements you did mention that we are who we are because of his law, and we are safe, and we abide in him, and we are free from the, you know, troubles of this world simply because of the law of God. I do want to say thank you so much, Pastor, for coming through.
You are most welcome. God bless you.
Blessings. Thank you. Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
It is 29.